We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Martha is going to read scripture.
Reading from Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 persons and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit, through David, foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness to us to his resurrection." So they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who is also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles.
Thank you.
Let us pray. And now, O God, may your word be proclaimed either through me or perhaps this morning in spite of me. Amen and amen. So the scripture Martha read sets the scene. Judas had betrayed Jesus. He went and crucified himself. And they, for some reason, decided they needed 12 disciples and not 11. Now, Luke, the writer of Acts, doesn't tell us why they needed 12. Maybe they were into symbolism and there was 12 tribes of Israel and 12, so there should be 12 disciples. Or perhaps it's simply because they thought, well, you know, Jesus had 12. If it's good enough for Jesus, good enough for us. But whatever the reason is, they decided they needed 12. So they got together and they made a list of requirements in order to be considered for the position. And what I found interesting, did you notice the two requirements? They had to be at the baptism of Jesus all the way through the resurrection of Jesus. Now, the reason why that's interesting is there's no record of any of the original 12 disciples being at the baptism. Luke doesn't tell us, John, Mark, Matthew. But yet for the replacement, you needed to be there all the way through. So they chose two guys, one Matthias and the other, we're going to call him Justus because he had three names, which makes me wonder about his past. Maybe he had to change his name three different times because he had a shady past. We don't know. They choose these two guys, and what's interesting about these two guys is we know nothing about them. It's the first time they show up in Scripture, and it's the last time we see them. But these two guys are chosen. They draw lots, they roll dice, and Matthias is picked. Justin, Matthias. And on that day, Justus, well, he called heads, and the coin landed on tails. He played rock. Matthias played paper. And then Justus played scissors, and Matthias played rock. on that day, Justice knew what it meant to be the second horse to finish in a two-horse race. He understood the words of Ricky Bobby, "If you ain't first, you're last." He understood the words of Carl Edwards, race car driver, who said, "If you finish second, you're just the first place loser." He understood what it meant to be the bridesmaid, but not the bride. He got it. He was the one that was not chosen. Now, I got interested in Justice because I wondered why he was even there. And so I did a little research. I was kind of hoping to find that when you looked him up, when you Googled him, when you looked for him, you would find some sort of history, some sort of event that would turn this loser, first place loser, into a winner, that would turn this unchosen person into the chosen one. And I read one story where he apparently is given credit for drinking poison and not dying. Only problem with that is there's no proof of that, and there's no showing of that in any other Christian writings. Then I read another story where he supposedly became bishop of a very powerful Roman city known as City of the Free, which would have been great rags-to-riches story, except archaeologists have determined that City of the Free didn't exist in the first century. It didn't come about to about 500 years later. So basically, not only is he never mentioned again in Scripture, he's never mentioned again in history. And so I had to change the whole angle of the sermon, because when I originally laid this sermon out, I told Matt what we were going to preach about was that it was going to be about how sometimes when you're not chosen, it's good because God has something else in store for you, right? And then I realized the truth. Sometimes we're simply not chosen. The world doesn't choose us. And that's a whole different sermon. But it makes me like Justice all the more. Because see, Justice understands what it means to be me. You see, when we moved down to Florida, I was in junior high school, middle school, and I hated junior high school. There was not a day of junior high school that I woke up and looked forward to going to school. And the reason why I hated it wasn't band, it wasn't English, wasn't math, it was PE. Right? See, in our middle school, junior high school, PE consisted of playing team sports the entire year, except for 4 to 6 weeks when we square danced, which I still don't understand how that's PE, but it was square dancing. And when you play team sports in PE, it always begins the same way. Every PE period began the same way, no matter what we played, soccer, softball, basketball, volleyball, didn't matter. There were two guys picked to be captain. And I was never picked to be a captain. I was the outsider. I was a kid with a funny accent. I was the one no one knew. I was not one of the cool kids. And so after the captains were picked, usually Carl Rutledge and Carlton Chance, but that's, I'm not bitter. After they were picked, then came the worst part of it all. The picking of the teams. This player, this captain would pick that person, this captain would pick that person, this person, that person, that person, this person. I'll take her, I'll take him. Let me have that one. Great, I got him. Okay, my pick, your pick. And always come down to just two of us left. And it was the most embarrassing, painful part of my life. Because invariably, you have to get picked, and no one wanted you. and you knew it. Because when they finally picked you, what would they do? They'd give that big sigh, shrug the shoulders and say, okay, I guess I'll take him. And let me tell you, being picked last, being picked because no one wanted to pick you, that's just as bad as not being chosen. And if you've never experienced that, if you have no idea what it means to not be chosen, if you were always the captain or the first one picked, the one who succeeded and always was wanted, then you know what? I give you permission to pull out your phone and start playing games because this sermon will do nothing for you. But if you're like the rest of us, who understands, if you're like that clumsy kid who never gets picked for a team, this sermon may be for you. If you're that tone-deaf singer who can't make the choir audition, yes, Matt, that would be me. If you're that kid whose SAT score wasn't high enough to get into the college that you really want. Or maybe if you're really like me, and the one person in this world who was supposed to love you abandoned you when you were a kid and then refused to acknowledge that you even existed in the world. See, if you've ever felt that pain, if you've ever been the one not chosen, if you've ever been the one who just got left on the sidelines, who was pushed aside, well, justice should be your hero because he knows exactly how that feels. And next July 20th, when it's St. Justice Day, you should probably have a celebration because he gets it. He knew what it was like to be left on the sidelines. Now, truthfully, I don't know what happened to the guy. He might have wandered off and never to be heard of again, or he might have preached on Pentecost right there with Peter. I don't know. But what I know is he was never heard of again. But a few years later, another follower of Jesus decided to write a letter to one of the most influential, most successful churches of the first century. And this follower of Jesus, a guy by the name of Paul, he doesn't understand what it's like to be justice. He was always the chosen one. He was always the favorite kid. He was always the rabbi's pet. He was the top of the class. He was the best of the best. Everybody wanted Paul. But Paul understood that not everyone was like him. He wrote a letter to this church in Ephesus that tells us that he got what it meant to be justice, that he got what it meant to be the one that wasn't chosen, to be the one that was stuck on the sidelines, to be the one that, well, the one that just, well, the first place loser. He got it. And if you read the first chapter, you get this sense of how excited Paul was when he wrote it, because if you're a grammar, are there any grammar police in here who like to correct everyone's grammar? Don't read Paul's letter to the Ephesians, because chapter 1, verses 3 through 14 would drive you crazy in the original language, because it is one long run-on sentence. No periods, no commas, no punctuation, just on and on and on and on, and he never stops. Now, scholars will tell you that the reason why Paul did that was because he really didn't write it. He dictated it, his scribe. The reason why Paul did it was because he was so excited, I think, about what he was writing that he couldn't stop his pen long enough to take a breath. So he just wrote it. And Martha's going to read it. And the reason why I'm getting Martha to read it is she's a swimmer, so she can take these long breaths. Martha's going to read, but she couldn't go all the way to 14. She can only make it to 8. So she's going to read 3 through 8 in one run-on sentence breath. So if you are a grammar police, put your head down, close your ears, because you ain't going to like it. Go ahead, Martha.
Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and insight.
There you go. One breath. Let's hear it for swimmers from that non-college University of North Carolina. Well, they lost accreditation or something. I don't know. Did you see what got Paul so excited? I mean, it's kind of buried there in the fourth verse. Verses 4 and 5. If you underline your Bible, go ahead. Because here's what Paul's saying. Paul is saying to the justices of the world, you may not be chosen by the world, but you are chosen by God. The Carl Rutledge and the Carlton Chance may not choose you, but the creator of the universe chose you. You are chosen. You are loved. And Paul was so excited when he wrote that, he couldn't even stop to take a breath because he knew that there were people not like him. He knew there were people who were being passed over, pushed aside, bridesmaids that would never be brides, people who put down scissors when the other person put down rocks. He understood what it meant, even though he never experienced it, to be a first place loser. And he wanted to make sure the people of the church understood that the world might not choose them, but God chose them. So if you underline, if you write in your Bible like you should, you just circle that part, just as he chose us. But he doesn't stop there. He gets even better, right? Because then he puts this. He says, he destined us for adoption as his children. So if you're an underliner, not only underline adoption, double underline it, star it, exclamation mark. Make sure you never miss that word again when you read this Bible, because here's what that means. See, adoption in the first century, that was something huge, because when you became adopted, you got a whole new identity. You got a whole new name, a whole new life, a whole new beginning, a whole new chapter. You had a new father. It was all new, and it was all great, and it was the greatest gift that someone could give to someone who was not chosen, was to choose them for adoption, because it brought them into the family. Just like Bob this morning was brought into the family of God. That's what it's like for us. We have been chosen, we have been adopted, we have been given a new name, a new life, a new beginning, a new chance, and we, those of us who are the justices of the world, we have been not only chosen, we have been brought in to the kingdom, to the family of God. And if that isn't good news, then you guys are half dead or half asleep. Because for people like me, who went through life not being chosen, that changes my world. Now to you guys going to UM Army, I want you to hear this. How many of you been before? Oh, very few rookies. You're going to go UM Army, and you're gonna meet these clients. And I'm here to tell you, I've been in UM Army more times than some of you have been alive. And most of these clients, they're the unchosen ones. Most of the clients that you're going to go into their house and you're going to be part of their life, they're the ones that the rest of the world has pushed aside and has told them, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not rich enough, and they have been forgotten, they have been ignored. This week, you have a chance. You have a chance to let these unchosen people, these justices of the world, you have a chance to let them know that there is a God who chooses them. And the way you do it, it's not by telling them. It's by the way you love them. And trust me, on Thursday night, on client night, when some of those unchosen people show up and they talk about what you did for them, you'll understand. That's why you're going. You're not there to build ramps. You're not there to paint houses. You're not there to build steps. You're there to tell these unchosen that they have a God who chooses them. And for the rest of us who aren't going UM Army, I guarantee you today, this week, today, you're going to encounter someone who's one of those people, one of the unchosen, one of the ones that the rest of the world says, I don't want you, I don't need you, you're no good, you're not good enough, you're not worth. And as a follower of Jesus, our responsibility is not to preach to them, but to love them. See, they won't know you're a follower of Jesus if you don't love them. And when you love them, then they'll understand that the world might not have chosen them, but God chose them. You see, the secret, the reason why we're here, is because we're chosen. We're adopted. And that's such good news, we can't keep it to ourselves. And so when we go into the world and we love one another, well, that's how they'll know we're followers of Jesus. That's what we're called to do. That's what this whole thing is about. And so would you receive this benediction? And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. May you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, nothing, that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? You'd have a good day. Take care. God bless. Have a good week.